The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirits. This message is for October 11th, 2020, our 31st Sunday of gathering in this way, the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time. My name is Betsy Turner. It is my joy to serve as the pastor of Stockbridge Presbyterian Church and to welcome you to worship this morning. I want to remind you of our worship schedule for the remainder of October. Next week, October 18th, we will worship through a pre-recorded service like this one. You'll find it in the usual places on the website and Facebook. The following week on October 25th at 11 a.m., we will gather for a live service on Zoom for communion in our own homes. There will not be a pre-recorded service that weekend, but we are working on ways to either stream or record the communion service for those who are not able to join us live at 11 a.m. I'm so thankful for the ways that we continue to connect during this unusual season. I also want to highlight for you a new feature on our website. Right on our front page below where you would find this worship video is a big blue button that says SPC Sanctuary. This will take you to what we are calling a virtual visit to the sanctuary. It is a 15-minute video that takes you inside the sanctuary and simply allows you to sort of sit in that holy space. If you want to listen to hymns while you are there, turn your volume on. If you want to sit in silence, simply mute. It's our hope that that will be a useful tool, allowing you holy time in holy space through the gift of technology. We come now into a time of holiness, a time of worship. And so let us gather ourselves with a song of praise. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Would you pray with me? Holy God, in the midst of a lot of chaos and confusion, much stress and anxiety, we come to worship you. Help us to quiet other voices in these moments so that we might hear you speaking to us. Bind us together across the distance that separates through the gift of technology and by the power of your Holy Spirit. And grant your peace to our frantic minds, our weary bodies, and our restless spirits. Come, Spirit, come and be with us. Amen. This week, we are finishing up our lectionary series on the book of Philippians, and today we conclude with the fourth and final chapter. Again, I'm reading from the Common English Bible. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and miss, who are my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord. Loved ones, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to come to an agreement in the Lord. Yes, and I'm also asking you, loyal friend, to help these women who have struggled together with me in the ministry of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the scroll of life. Be glad in the Lord always. Again, I say be glad. Let your gentleness show in your treatment of all people. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all your requests to God in your prayers and petitions, along with giving thanks. Then the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. From now on, brothers and sisters, if anything is excellent and if anything is admirable, focus your thoughts on these things, all that is true, all that is holy, all that is just, all that is pure, all that is lovely, and all that is worthy of praise, practice these things. Whatever you learned, received, heard, or saw in us, the God of peace will be with you. I was very glad in the Lord because now at last you have shown concern for me again. Of course, you were always concerned, but had no way to show it. I'm not saying this because I need anything, for I have learned how to be content in any circumstance. I know the experience of being in need and having more than enough, and I have learned the secret to being content in any and every circumstance, whether full or hungry, whether having plenty or being poor. I can endure all things through the power of the one who gives me strength. Still, you have done well to share my distress. You Philippians know how from the time of my first mission work in Macedonia, how no church shared in supporting my ministry except you. You sent contributions repeatedly to take care of my needs, even while I was in Thessalonica. I'm not hoping for a gift, but I am hoping for a profit that accumulates to your account. I now have plenty, and it is more than enough. I am full to overflowing because I have received the gifts you sent from Epaphroditus. Those gifts give off a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice that pleases God. My God will meet your every need out of his riches in the glory that is found in Christ Jesus. Let glory be given to God our Father forever and always. Amen. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters with me send you their greeting. All God's people here, especially those in Caesar's household, send you their greeting. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirits. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, we come to the end of Paul's letter to his friends at Philippi. Here in this final chapter, he wraps up his thoughts and signs off. I can almost picture Epaphroditus over in the corner just waiting for Paul to finish, standing there with a suitcase packed and ready for Paul to just sign off. Sincerely, Paul. And he is sincere. Paul was clearly raised right, as was I, by a mama who taught him that you write a thank you note. Because he makes sure here that the Philippians are well and truly thanked. The two paragraphs before the final greeting are a lengthy thank you note, Paul expressing his deep gratitude to the Philippians for all their generosity to him. In addition to their prayerful and spiritual support of Paul and of the gospel, they have put their money where their mouth is, financially supporting Paul's ministry, not just with spare change, but generously, such that he is now full to overflowing with plenty. And Paul's mama must have also taught him that you don't send a dish back empty. You know, when someone brings you a cake on a plate, you're not supposed to take the plate back empty. You're supposed to fill it back up with cookies or something. And Paul does that here. Not with a reciprocal gift, like sending money back to them after they've sent money to him, but by giving a rich offering of wisdom and advice for the living of the Christian life. In fact, this chapter, it's like he's paying them back by sending a whole box of chocolates, a bunch of little rich, delicious morsels. There is so much good in this chapter, so much that I love about this chapter. I like how Paul speaks directly to these two women, Euodia and Syntyche. Notably, not to criticize them or shame them for their leadership or to put them in their place, but instead to commend them as co-workers for Christ. Here, unlike other places in the Bible and even in the letters of Paul, here Paul welcomes women, not only as supporters and encouragers, but as partners in ministry. Euodia and Syntyche don't just brew the coffee and put out the pastries and snacks. They are an integral part of the team, having struggled together with him in the ministry, along with Clement and Timothy and Epaphroditus and all the others whose names, Paul says, are written in the scroll of life. And so now he writes to encourage these two women to come to an agreement in the Lord. There must have been something going on with these two women, enough so that Paul heard about it from far away in prison. Word got out that these two women were in some kind of passionate disagreement, passionate argument. But again, Paul's not mad about that. And he's not here to wag a finger at them. He seems to appreciate their passion, and he simply urges them to work it out, to get through those differences and move forward to continue their good work. That piece reminds us that all people have a place in the church, that we're not in the business of wagging fingers and putting people in their place. We're in the business of working together. We're in the business of good and faithful debate and argument, sure, but at the end of the day, we set those things aside and we work together for the sake of the gospel. Another little rich morsel that I love in this chapter is Paul's focus on joy. In fact, it's been a theme throughout the whole book, you may have noticed over the past couple of weeks. Paul is full of joy. Back in chapter 1, he talked about praying for the Philippians. I pray for you with great joy in all my prayers. He rejoiced that the gospel is being proclaimed, regardless of people's intention. As long as the word about Jesus is getting out, Paul feels great joy. In chapter 2, he told them, be glad and rejoice even as he suffers and they face opposition. And chapter 3 began, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. So if Paul has a theme here in the book of Philippians, this may be it, joy. Here in chapter 4, he calls the Philippians my joy and my crown. He rejoices in this thank you note to them. And of course, we get those familiar words that we sang as our opening song. The Common English says, be glad in the Lord. And again, I say be glad, but as we sang and as we're probably more familiar with, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So let's talk about joy for just a second. And let's start with what joy isn't. Joy is not simply happiness. It is not that temporary feeling of cheer or pleasure. It's not an emotion that is dependent on circumstances. And it's not Pollyanna-ish optimism either. Remember, Paul is in prison, potentially facing death for the sake of the gospel, so he can't possibly be happy right now. He's not comfortable. He's not feeling cheerful. He's not in a situation of pleasure. He is suffering, even contemplating his own death. And yet, even though it's not a happy situation, Paul feels joy. Because joy is something different, something deeper. It's not a response to circumstances, it's a response to God. Paul chooses joy, not because of what he sees and hears on the news, surely, or what's happening in his own life, or in the lives of his friends to whom he writes. He has joy because he perceives another actor in the world, God, who is at work, who does good things, who is love and grace and mercy. Joy, then, is a chosen conscious posture, an orientation, a discipline of perception. And that can be freeing and subversive because it's not an escape from the pain of life or the sources of anxiety and stress and worry. But joy gives us a way to live in and through and with whatever the circumstance. They can imprison our bodies. but they cannot capture our joy. And so even behind bars, in a terrible situation, Paul rejoices. Joy is, as one has written, reading the economy of God's activity in particular ways and acting in conformity with that unfolding story. We might think of joy like that flag that flies outside of Buckingham Palace when the Queen is in residence there. That flag is not an indicator that the Queen is in a good mood or that all is well in the country or the world. That flag flies as a sign that she is present and that she is in charge. And perhaps it is that way with the joy in our lives. Our joy is a banner to the world of our conviction that God is in charge, that God is alive and well and at home in us. And we find our home in a trusting relationship with God. There are so many other rich little chocolates in this box in the book of Philippians and in this chapter. Even right in this chapter, I know that at least one of you will be mad that I'm not covering verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What a powerful statement of faith. We have the promise the Lord is near. And that timeless, beautiful phrase, the peace of God which passes understanding. So again, I want to commend to you this book of Philippians that we've been studying over these past few weeks. I would invite you to sit and read and digest and take in what this book has to speak to us in these days. How timeless it is, how fitting a word. How it feels like Paul might be writing to you and to me right here in the 21st century. And thanks be to God for these treasured words and wisdom. May we read and learn and understand. And to borrow the closing from Paul himself, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Would you join me in song?
Sing praise to God who reigns above, the God of all creation, the God of power, the God of love, the God of all salvation. My soul with comfort rich he fills, and every grief he gently stills. To God all praise and glory. The Lord is never far away, but through all grief distressing, an ever-present help and stay, our peace and joy and blessing. As with a mother's tender hand, God gently leads the chosen band. To God all praise and glory. Let all who name Christ's holy name give God the praise and glory. Let all who know His power proclaim, aloud the wondrous story. Cast every idol from its throne, the Lord is God and God alone. To God all praise and glory. We seek the Lord here. praise and glory.
God's love for us never ends. God's mercies are new every morning, the psalmist writes. And when we consider God's goodness, how great God is, we are humbled and we feel compelled to respond. And so with gratitude and joy, we give to God our morning offering. And we give more than just our money. We give ourselves, our hearts, our lives, as an act of dedication. Let us sing together the doxology.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
And now let us pray. God of peace, we rejoice in you always. Even in times of trial and seasons of doubt and pain, your call is to rejoice. And so we do. We rejoice, we praise you, we give thanks. And yet in the same breath, in the midst of that joy, we come to you pleading on behalf of a world that you love. We ask for signs of your grace, interventions of your mercy, and a transformation that reflects your goodness. You have told us, do not be anxious about anything. Bring your requests in prayer and petition. And so here we are. Hear us as we pray, as we always do, for the sick and the hurt and those who care for them, for the dying and those who grieve, especially those who do so alone, for the hungry, the poor, and those most vulnerable, for the long oppressed and those still waiting for justice, or the anxious and those who feel most alone. Christ, who strengthens us when we grow weary and bereft, we ask you to encourage and uphold us. When we are tempted to give in to violence or force, remind us that we, your people, are to be known for our gentleness and forbearance. Grant us the strength of faith not to worry, but instead to think on things that are good and honorable and lovely. Help us to live with integrity, showing respect to your creation and love to our neighbors. Do not let us be overtaken by cynicism or despair. Give us the courage not only to think about justice, but to enact and embody it. Empower us to do the hard and tangible work of reconciliation and mercy. Reveal to us what is pure, the things that speak of your holiness and point to your will. Now we ask that you hear us as we name out loud or in silence in our own spaces our specific concerns and the particular ways we need your grace. Spirit of gentleness, hear our prayers. Remind us of all Jesus has taught us. Give us the right words to speak at the right time. Turn our thoughts toward you so that we will think and then act on your loving kindness, your free-flowing justice, and your pursuit of goodness and mercy. This that we speak, and the prayers that we hold in silence. All of them we lift in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen.
I charge you now, my friends, as I always do, to go forth from this time of worship to love and to serve the Lord, rejoicing, choosing joy in the power of the Holy Spirit. And to borrow from the words of Philippians, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Live by them. Put them into practice. Uphold them in your life, in our nation, and our world. And share them with those that you meet. And as you go, trust and believe that you do not ever go alone. For God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit is with us now and abides with us forever. Knowing this, my friends, be at peace. Amen.